The State Fair is a fair in several senses of the term. It's a regular gathering place of people for the exchange and sale of goods. It's a carnival, a festival, a bazaar. It's an exposition of agricultural and industrial products. It's a party for the people, a holiday to mark the end of summer and the coming of the harvest, a festive show and tell for children and adults. A corn dog is a hot dog covered by cornbread and skewered lengthwise on a stick. The concoction is fried in fat and served hot. Combining protein and fat with carbohydrates and artificial flavors, the corn dog sits on the apex of the food pyramid. It's a state fair food, which is to say, a delicacy that tastes good, even though it might not be all that good for you. In fact, the corn dog is so much associated with the fair that one of the primary purveyors of packaged corn dogs uses the state fair brand name. The corn dog is only one of 27 different foods at the fair that are served on a stick. Although we don't always think about it, the stick is an essential part of the pleasure of these foods, because the stick makes this cuisine peripatetic, preserving the freedom of movement that is such an essential part of American life, including our time at the fair. We become stick people because we want to be on the move. Instead of sitting down to a formal corn dog dinner, even people who don't have pets can walk this dog. But fairgoers are also stuck on the stick because it offers an escape from the etiquette of eating at the table. Try to imagine, for example, the complexities of a corn dog served in a sit-down restaurant. You thank the waiter for the plate and you place your napkin on your lap. Using your knife or spoon, you deftly apply the necessary condiments. Fixing the corn dog with your fork, you slice it delicately with the knife. Then switching the fork from one hand to another, you lift this prime cut of corn dog to your mouth. Somehow, just the thought of such stilted consumption takes out all the flavor. In the informality of its state fair habitat, however, the corn dog gives us a chance to stick it to etiquette. The dogness of the corn dog is another element often overlooked. Anthropologists frequently find that a culture's food preferences and taboos reveal deep-seated modes of understanding the world. We eat cow meat and pig meat, although we never call them that, preferring the euphemistic beef and pork. We don't customarily eat pets and domesticated animals like dogs and cats and horses. But metaphorically, it seems that even though the dog is man's best friend, we don't mind feeding on our friends. We do eat hot dogs and corn dogs, but we don't consume hot cats or corn kitties. Like other fair fast foods, the corn dog is a flavorful treat that people treat with other flavors. In his careful fits of research on the consumption of the corn dog, Dr. America finds that often a corn dog is just a conveyance for liquid condiments. Ketchup and mustard are the main flavorings, the sweet and sour of state fair seasonings. There's not much demand for more exotic sauces, like hollandaise or béarnaise, or even mayonnaise. And the condiments seem to vary by age. Young people prefer ketchup, while adults seem to muster their courage for the mustards. In either case, the ketchup red and mustard yellow often also show up on the shirts and shorts of fairgoers, where they become a bright spot in the colorful spectacle of the fair. From the American Studies Museum, this is Dr. America, chewing the fat at the fair. In American life, people spend more time at work than at any other activity except sleeping, if sleeping can in fact be considered an activity. Given the centrality of work in our culture, you might expect that Americans would pay more attention to it. But Americans don't think much of work, in either sense of that phrase. We don't like work, and we don't like thinking about it either. We prefer to concentrate on our leisure life, which is the compensation we get through the compensation we get for the job. In America, actually, most of us are happy to have a job, which is a position for which we get paid. A job is a piece of work. In fact, in the 19th century, the term job work meant piecework. The word job comes from a Middle English word meaning lump, and is related to our word gob. A job may give us gobs of money, but it doesn't necessarily make meaning for us. In the 18th century, essayist Samuel Johnson defined a job as petty, piddling work, and for many of us, the definition still fits. That's why the country music lyrics sing so enthusiastically, "Take this job and shove it. Better than a job, of course, is a career, which is the upward climb from job to job over time. A career is a person's advancement within social boundaries, and its upward trajectory often leads to social and geographic mobility and to the uprooting of communities. A career culture fosters ambitious, calculating individualists who want to get ahead, leaving the rest of us, by definition, behind. A career gives us something to talk about, but it doesn't necessarily give us an occupation we can take pride in. At the end of the week, we still say, in America's great interdenominational prayer, "Thank God it's Friday." We don't pray a similar prayer on Monday when we say we have to go back to work. Not many of us ever enthuse that we get to go to work. A richer conception than job or career is the ancient Judeo-Christian ideal of vocation, literally a calling from God to help create the kingdom of God on earth. Vocation gives us a way of thinking about the cosmic and communitarian aspects of work, and it invites us to think about the gift of creation, the creation of our own gifts, and the way in which our gifts might be applied to the ongoing purposes of the creation. A vocation is a call from God to use our gifts for God's glory and for the good of the community, including the poor. Unlike a job or a career, which is mainly a private matter, a calling can never be purely private, nor can it be vocational in the narrow sense of the word, as when we speak of vocational training. A vocation is God's call to work in the world, not just at work, but in all of the settings where we live our lives. If we believe in vocation, we are all at work now, because we are all engaged in thinking about our work in the world. Perhaps, therefore, instead of saying that we are at work or on vacation, we should say that we are on vocation. In his book, The Reinvention of Work, theologian Matthew Fox helps us to think about the spirit of work with what he calls a spirituality of work questionnaire. Here are some of his questions worth pondering on Labor Day. Is my work real work or just a job? How does my work connect to the great work of the universe? Is my work actively creating good for others? Who profits from my work? Is my work smaller than my soul? How big is my soul? How big is my work? What can I do to bring the two together? If I were to leave my work today, what difference would it make to my spiritual growth, to the spiritual development of my colleagues at work, to the spiritual development of my family and friends? What am I doing to reinvent the profession in which I work? We might also ask of any work we do, what good is this work? What in the world is it good for? What good is it for the world? From the American Studies Museum, this is Dr. America, reinventing museum work for the 21st century.